They say it's hello. Got that rumor? Chodesh Elul. Okay. All right. Thank you, Hanina. Thank you, Sunny. I have to thank the other Moshe Tzvi for me. And thanks, everyone, for coming. Okay, so Hanina and I were talking about Elul and Rosh Hashanah and trying to figure out what it means to actually get ready during these days. So let's learn. Let's learn and let's see if we can get somewhere that's meaningful for all of us. The Baal HaTanya has a famous idea. Many of us have probably heard this idea before, but not a lot of people, I find that not a lot of people have actually learned this idea. If we actually read the words and think about the words, right, it really gives us a lot of perspective on what's happening during these days. And that is the famous mashal of HaMelech Basada. What's the mashal of the king in the field? So the Baal HaTanya writes in source number one, he says, "Hinei noda shebe'elul huzman huzgalis yud gimel midos rachman." Elul is a time where there's this incredible revelation of the yud gimel midos rachman. The Sfardim already very busy saying slichos. Ashkenazim take their time, next Motzi Shabbos. Some of us will get going with that, or at least try to get going with that. Right? But it's an incredible time of the year. And in a certain sense, because it's the end of the year, before, I mean, once you get to Rosh Hashanah, we've already started the new year. Like now is really the time, if we want to try to clean up and fix up and try, you know, like, to fix whatever is improper over the course of this last year, now is the chance to really try to make that happen. It's an incredible opportunity. So the Baal HaTanya wonders, so then why is Elul not a Yom Tov? It's like a funny way to ask the question. The Baal HaTanya says, "Ulahavin ze ki lama heim yomos hachol ve'enam yom tov." Why not make a yom tov out of Elul? Elul's like, you know, it's sort of like almost like this secret for people who are sensitive Jews who are starting to think about Rosh Hashanah. Like we almost look at it as like, oh, it's all just about preparation for Rosh Hashanah. But Elul itself is a very special time. So why is it not a yom tov? And that's part of the secret of Elul. So the Baal HaTanya gives his famous mashal. And the mashal is the mashal of a king who's on his way back to the palace. And people have the opportunity to encounter the king on the way to the palace. He writes where it's bolded. Mashal lemelech shekodem bo le'ir yotzin anche ha'ir lekrasel u'mekablin panav basada. And the king on his way, when he's still outside of the city, he's on his way back to the capital city, to the kingdom. He's coming to the palace. So the people all come out to greet him. And they greet the king in the field. It's like a weird place to encounter a king. Because if you've ever been to the palace, if you've been zocha, let's say, to step inside the palace, if you were, you know, you waited on a list for a long time to have a couple of moments with the king, maybe to petition the king or to thank the king or to ask of the king, whatever it is, if you've been in the palace, you know that the tone and the tenor of the palace is like, everything is very rigid and everything is very intense and everything is very precise. And now you're like having you're hanging out with the king in the field. It's a funny thing. But anyone, because this king is a very gracious king, az rishayin kol mi shirotza letzeis lahakbil panov hu mekabel es kulam besever panam yafos. But anyone who wants in the field can go get a smile from the king. Can get the king's autograph. Can say hello to the king. Can shake hands with the king. The king greets everyone. Umara panam sochos lekulam. And he has a smiling face for everyone there. It's a strange thing. But what happens, says the Baal HaTanya, as he gets closer and closer to the capital city. So as he gets closer and closer to the city, all of a sudden the guards start to close in, and they start to put up the barricades, and they start to say, "Whoa, where do you think you're going? You can't go here." Well, a minute ago I was able to approach the king. No, now you can't. And by the time you get to the palace gates, they're slamming the door in your face. So the Baal HaTanya says, in the last line, he says, "V'kach ha'inin al derech mashal b'chodesh Elul." What happens in Chodesh Elul? Yotzin lahagbil or panav yizbarach basada. If Rosh Hashanah is the time where the king is going to take his throne, so to speak, so the truth is, if we're really smart Jews, we get a head start. Rosh Hashanah is a hard time to show up. To be able to encounter the king in the palace on Rosh Hashanah with all of, again, the coronation that's taking place on a cosmic level, it's very overwhelming. It's very intense. It's very hard to meet the king in that place. But the truth is, I want to try to learn together tonight, and I hope it'll be a source of chizuk for all of us, that it's not that Elul is like this secret. If you get the head start and you grab on an Elul, so then you like beat everyone to the punch and you skip the long lines that take place at the palace. There are times when we are invited to Hashem, and I want to consider the possibility that there are times when Hashem comes to visit us. When I say Hashem comes to visit us, it's going to sound counterintuitive at first, but let's see if we can make the case. And I hope and I think it will, again, it'll resonate with us. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go tell the Jewish people the following. Matana Tova, where it's bolded in source number 2. Matana Tova Yeshli Bebeis Ganazai. Hashem says, I have a good gift. Now, if God says it's a good gift, you can assume Hashem, you know, like when grandma gives you a good gift, you're like, oh, thanks, grandma, that's great. You know, I really wanted another sweater, you know. But when Hashem says, I have a good gift, we can assume that Hashem knows what's considered a nice present. Hashem says, I have a good gift for you, and it's called Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna Yisrael. I want to give it to the Jewish people. Leich v'hodiyam. Go and inform them. Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell them. Go tell them to get excited. It was my wife's English birthday yesterday. The kids were so busy with preparing their gifts. And our Meira was busy. She was doing like a box, and then like in a box, and then like in another box, and like wrapped that box, and like painted that box, and then taped pictures on that box, right? And like, you know, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of hype the last couple of weeks as we approach this this great day, right? So Hashem says, go tell Bnei Yisrael, I have a big gift that I want to give them. But the truth is, Rav Gedalia Shor, the Or Gedalia explains in several places that the truth is, what does it say? There's a Matana Tova, I have this great gift, Bebeis Genazai. Hashem says, it's in my treasure chest. It's in my innermost chamber. So, well, if you're going to give it to Klai Yisrael, why are you saying it's in your innermost chamber? So you might say, because it's a very special gift, and normally this is kept under lock and key, and now I'm about to hand it over to the Jewish people, so they should be really excited. Rav Gedalia Shor says, no, the gift actually stays in the treasure chest. What's happening on Shabbos is go tell the Jewish people that they're invited in for Shabbos. We get to go to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for Shabbos. We get to visit a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. Okay. What about on Yom Tov? Do we get to visit Hashem on Yom Tov? So the Pesukim tell us that on the Shalosh Regalim, a Jew comes to appear in the Beis HaMikdash, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, 3 times a year, Yireh Kol Zechorcha Spenei Hashem Elokecha B'makom Asher Yivchar. A Jew gets to come to the Makom Asher Yivchar, to the place that Hashem has chosen, to the Beis HaMikdash. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Moshe Tzvi, you're a liar and a cheater. You didn't translate the pasuk properly. It says, Yireh Kol Zechorcha, the men get to go, the women don't get to go. Let's be honest, that's what the pasuk says. So here's a word of chizuk. This year is a Shemitah year. And in the post-Shemitah year, on Sukkot, we get to all come to Beis HaMikdash. When do we all get to come to the Beis HaMikdash? The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayelech that at the end of the 7-year cycle, everyone comes on the Chag HaSukkos, everyone comes to the Beis HaMikdash to hear the king read from the Torah. And what do we call this great gathering? Hakel. Right? As the pasuk says, again, where it's bolded in source number 4, Hakel Esa'am Ha'anashim V'Hanashim V'Hataf. Everyone gets to come to Shul, everyone gets to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone gets to gather. The men, the women, the children, everyone gets to be a part of this big celebration. So there are times, Shabbos on a certain level is on the one hand, it feels like Hashem is coming to visit our home, but really we're going to visit Hashem. We're invited into the Beis Genazav of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're invited into Hashem's treasure chest. Into Hashem's storage chamber of his most precious gems, his precious items. And on the Shalosh Regalim, we get to come to visit Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. And on Hakel, we really get to come. All of Klal Yisrael, the men, the women, the children, everyone gets to come to visit Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. But I want to suggest that just like in Elul, if Elul is really Hachana for Rosh Hashanah, if Elul is supposed to help us get ready for Rosh Hashanah, well, where do we meet Hashem in Elul? So the Baal Tanya said, we meet Hashem in the field. We meet the king before the king gets to the palace. But the truth is, I think there's a big secret about Rosh Hashanah. I think part of the secret of Rosh Hashanah, and again, I don't want to be presumptuous, I don't want to make assumptions about what people feel or don't feel. Some people love Rosh Hashanah, some people are terrified of Rosh Hashanah. Some people's family situation allows them to spend a lot of time in shul, some people hardly make it to shul at all. And that could be very difficult for some people, and particularly women sometimes end up on the raw end of that deal. But I think on a certain level, what it really means to be Mamlech Hashem, and this is the real point I want to try to learn together tonight, what it really means to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu king on Rosh Hashanah is to genuine belief, not in some apologetic type of way, not in some like, you know, this is feel-good Torah, to really believe, and I'm going to try to show it to you in the sources, to really believe that as much as we're painting this picture of Elul Hashem in the field and then Rosh Hashanah Hashem's in the palace, the truth is, the palace is everywhere. Where's Hashem's palace? Is Hashem's palace in Shul? Is that the palace? Is the Beis HaMikdash the palace? What if on Rosh Hashanah we have the opportunity to make the whole world the palace? What if on Rosh Hashanah the whole world becomes the Beis HaMikdash? We know that when the Jewish people would actually come to the Beis HaMikdash, there was always more and more and more and more room. So maybe on Rosh Hashanah, when the whole world is standing in judgment before Hashem, then I guess that in a certain sense, the whole world becomes the palace. So it doesn't really matter if you're sitting front row in shul. It doesn't matter if you're the chazan on the Yom Noram, or you're a person who can't even make it to shul on Yantiv. Maybe we can actually believe in a very real way that the whole world on Rosh Hashanah is the palace. That the whole world on Rosh Hashanah is the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, tzaddikim tell us, and I put a few on the page, that Rosh Hashanah is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. 861, that's very interesting. Different explanations and different stories. Why is Rosh Hashanah Gematria Beis HaMikdash? Because maybe the whole world becomes one big Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate time for a Jew to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Basher Husham. Each person, wherever he or she may be. And I'm not just talking about a geographical location. I'm talking about even on an emotional level. Maybe the biggest way that you can be Mamlech Hashem over the world, but more specifically over your world in Rosh Hashanah, is to genuinely believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be the king, even if I'm sitting in a chair in my apartment by myself. Wherever I am, I can make Hashem king over this place. And maybe that's more meaningful than coming to the official palace, having the official encounter with the king. Maybe there's something more special. And maybe that's why the king's wandering around in the field. Maybe the king's outside the palace because maybe he likes that more in a certain way. And the king wants to be accessible to everyone. Yes, he's a king. He has to have certain, again, there's a certain, you know, decorum that's expected. There's a way that a melech lives his life and runs his kingdom. But maybe there's an opportunity to encounter a Kodesh Baruch Hu everywhere. I always say that this next Gemara was written for Jewish women in particular, Jewish mothers even more so. And I often share this with people this time of the year. When invariably I speak to people who say, you know, it's very hard for me. It's very hard for me. I don't have the opportunity. I don't feel that I have the opportunity to be as present in shul as my father, as my husband, as my son, right? There's a certain mitzias, but maybe Hashem believes in the Jewish women in a different way, and maybe that's why. Maybe it's not just that it's unfair, but maybe there's a deep secret to it. Maybe there's something really be'emes deep about it. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks the following question. The Gemara says in the first line, in the middle of the line, "Minayin l'gzar din shel tzibur she'enu nechtam." How do we know that the gzar din, that the heavenly decree on the tzibur, is never sealed? There's always room to negotiate. The community, the tzibur, can always negotiate. So the Gemara says, "Eino nechta? What? It's not sealed? What do you mean?" V'achsiv, it says in Yirmiyah, "Nichtam avoneich lefanai." It's almost like a play on words. Nechtam and nichtam. Nichtam means like a kesem, stain. Like, what do you mean? Your sins are stained before me. You know, like the oil stain on your new shoes that's not so easily removed. The pasuk says that the sins leave a mark. So it says there are no. Ela af al gav shenechtam, even though it's sealed, nikra. Even if it was sealed and stamped, you could rip it up. There's room to try to renegotiate even after it's sealed. How do you know that that's true? Shenemar ka Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Right? How great is the Jewish God that Hashem is responsive whenever we call out to Him. But the pasuk says v'achsiv dirshu Hashem behimatzo, seek out Hashem when he can be found. What does that sound like? There's times when Hashem's available and times when he's not available, when he's accessible, not accessible. So the Gemara answers, Hasam biyachid hacha betzibor. There's a difference between the tzibor. For a tzibor, for community, for a congregation, for a group of people who get together, they can always negotiate with Hashem. But for a yachid, for an individual, if you're flying solo, so you should realize, no, dirshu Hashem bihimatzo. Seek out Hashem when Hashem is accessible. Okay, so when is Hashem accessible? Says the Gemara, biyachid emas. When is Hashem accessible to the individual? Listen to this. Amar Rabba Baravua, Elu Asara Yamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When is the time that Hashem is available to each and every individual? You don't have to be with the tzibor. During the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The time when you could think that this is like the most important time to feel like I'm part of the tzibor. Hashem says no. The Gemara says no. This is the time of the year that every yachid has the opportunity, every individual, by yourself, has the opportunity to seek out Hashem and to find Hashem. That's so interesting. That's like so interesting. The shuls are never more full. They're selling seats in shul because they have to figure out how to navigate the large crowds. There's never a time where you want to be part of the tzibor more than the Amun Aram. And yet this Gemara is revealing to us that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, no, I'm not abandoning the yachid. The individual who's not able to be as much with the tzibor is actually going to encounter me maybe even a more special way, even in a more meaningful way. Yom Kippur, we want to be before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem titar. That's like the whole, right? I want to be able to be before Hashem. But again, ask yourself, where is Hashem? So you know what the Chazan does on the Amun Aram? What does the Chazan do? The Chazan for Shachris, before he gets up to daven. So you have someone who comes, starts the davening, Pesukei Dezimra, Brachos, Pesukei Dezimra. But right before the Chazan gets up and he walks up to the Amud to represent the Tzibor, what does he do? It's a very interesting minhag. Our Chasholchan records it in source number 6. The Chazan, wherever he's sitting, wherever he's standing, wherever his assigned seat in the shul is, before he walks up and continues to daven, he calls out HaMelech from his place. The Melech who's Yoshev, Kisei. But first he says the word HaMelech in his place, and only then does he walk up to take the spotlight. Why? What is that minhag about? Why is he screaming out HaMelech? Before he becomes like that leader of the tzibor, right? To lead the congregation. Why is he calling out? Why is he screaming out HaMelech from his seat? And the answer is because the Chazan has to remind himself and the whole tzibor, it's really on behalf of the people who are not able to be part of the tzibor. That HaMelech is also over here. And HaMelech is also over here. And really, wherever you're sitting, it's not like this is front and center, like this is where we're going to crown the king. The Chazan is going to be the one to place the crown on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head. No, HaMelech is everywhere. HaMelech is in your corner and in your corner and in this corner. Wherever the Chazan happens to be, he first declares HaMelech over that spot, that not so chashuv spot. And only then does he step up to lead the Kehillah. You know, there was a Breslover Mashpia. His name was Rav Hirsch Leib Lippel. So this Rav Hirsch Leib, unfortunately, he struggled to make parnasa. He used to schlep around, he would go to this place, he'd go to that place. And he couldn't get a proper job and was just never financially successful. So one time he decided, you know what, maybe I have to like start traveling farther and wider to make a living. So he started to travel a bit. And he's traveling, you know, through the Ukrainian countryside and he's looking for work. And he meets this Gentile farmer. And he sees this yid, he's schlepping around, this Rav Hirsch Leib. So he says to him, he's like, I don't understand, where'd you come from? So he says, oh, I'm from this small city. So he's like, what are you doing all the way over here? You live all the way back over there. So he says, I'm trying to find work. So he says, there's no work in your city? So he says, yeah, it's a small city. There's very limited opportunities. It's hard. I'm having a hard time. It's a lot of competition. I'm having a very hard time finding work. So the farmer says to him, he says, my friend, you're making a terrible mistake. Is he making a terrible mistake? He said, a person who's diligent, a person who works hard, always finds that there's work to do even at home. And this Rav Hirsch Leib was a Breslover Chassid, a person who knew how to listen to you know, the messages from Hashem in the world. He hears this non-Jewish farmer challenging him and saying, a person who's a diligent person, a person who's focused, a person who tries hard, is always able to find work even at home. He said it was such a powerful lesson in the Avodas Hashem. And he used to tell, later became a little bit more of a leader of Hasidim, he used to tell people, he would say, I took such a lesson from that. People think, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is here, Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's work to do at home. I want to do my work in Shul on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah. Right? I want to be able to have opportunities to, you know, to go to every, you know, every WhatsApp I get about another shir here or there or this thing for El, do this, come to this. It may not be realistic at all. And you may hear from someone else, oh, you know, this one was able to go or that one was able to go, and you feel like I'm missing out. There's no, you know, I'm not able to. I have to get out there to find some work to be able to be inspired. But he used to tell people. He said, when a Jew really desires to serve Hashem, there's always work to do even at home. There's always work to do. There's always work to do even by Asher Hashem. And therefore, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is not to be mamlech Hashem over the shul. Hashem doesn't need you to declare the palace. Of course, the shul is the palace. But Hashem says, I want you to make the whole world the Beis HaMikdash. I want you to make the whole world the palace. What do we say in the davening? Source number 7. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Hashem, rule over the entire world with your great honor. And we go on to sing the praises of Hashem. New ladies, ask me a kasha. Ask me a simple question. Which word don't you need? Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo. Write it differently. Every word in tefillah is very measured. So change it. Make it a little simpler. And still say the same thing. Why not just say Meloch al ha'olam kulo? Why do you have to say kol ha'olam kulo? It's repetitive. Kol ha'olam kulo. How would you even translate that? Rule over kol ha'olam kulo. The entire world? Why do you have to say the entire world? The Levush, one of the great poskim, one of the great halachic authorities, says, take out the word kol. You don't need the word kol. Just say Meloch al ha'olam kulo. But the Taz, in his writings on the Shulchan Aruch, says, you have to say kol ha'olam kulo. You know why? Because you can make a mistake. And even though he's talking in halacha, he's revealing a very deep machshava. The Taz says, we have a principle in halacha called what? Called rubo kekulo. Where sometimes if you have the majority of something, we treat a majority as if it's the entirety. So if it just said kol ha'olam, or if it just said ha'olam kulo, you would think, olam kulo doesn't mean kula. It means rubo kekulo, most of the world, a lot of the world. But that leaves room for a person to exclude oneself and say, but not me. But not me, because I'm not able. Again, I'm talking both geographically and emotionally. For whatever reason, I'm not, it's been very busy. I don't feel like it's Elul so much. I learn Torah and I get to give shiurim every day. And I'm not, you know, I'm not pretending that like I'm so, you know, I go to Shacharis every morning and hear the shofar. How many people here get to hear the shofar every day? Maybe some of you do. But I imagine many of you don't. Right. My Yaakov can come by, by the way, if anyone wants a second grader to blow shofar for you. He's very happy to blow shofar, and his sisters would be thrilled if he, you know, got out and blew shofar somewhere else. All right, so what's kol olam kulo? Says the Taz, because don't think that Hashem is the master, is the melech over rubo kekulo, most of the world. And that's also called kulo. No. Kol ha'olam kulo means the entire world. And that's true all the time. But Rosh Hashanah, we become aware of that. We have to at least acknowledge that. That's what we're trying to do. So in a certain sense, better is the one who's able to crown Hashem over the universe outside of the shul. Because you're expanding the kingdom. You're helping to expand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's kingdom. Rabbi Steinsaltz Zatzal, this yard site not that long ago, Rabbi Steinsaltz used to say, there's a great book, it's called On the Road with Rabbi Steinsaltz. Rabbi Steinsaltz was very sharp, was very witty, always had strong things to say, especially at a lot of, you know, critiques of the way religious life is in America. So Rabbi Steinsaltz once said, when I come to America, I see these big American synagogues, and sometimes I wonder whether Americans build these big synagogues thinking that if you go to a synagogue big enough, then maybe you can keep God in it. You know? And make the shul bigger and bigger and bigger, then maybe the shul will be big enough to contain all of Hashem. Unfortunately, God won't stay in the synagogue. Right? I would change it in our context. Fortunately, Hashem won't stay in the synagogue. It's a bracha that Hashem doesn't only stay in shul. Hashem's also in the bedroom. Hashem's in the kitchen. Hashem's in the marketplace. Hashem's everywhere. And at times we don't believe that. And Rosh Hashanah, again, is an invitation. What Elul is, HaMelech Basada, this mashal of HaMelech Basada, and then the king comes back to the palace. Don't be fooled by that. It's not that the king goes back to the palace and now, oh, if I didn't capture Elul, so now I'm like really locked down on Rosh Hashanah because what's happening in the palace is where it's at, and I'm stuck on the outside. I'll tell you a deep shot and an interesting minhag on Rosh Hashanah. One of the minhagim of Rosh Hashanah, the Ramah brings, that we're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, exactly how that works. What does it mean not to take a shluff on the couch in the afternoon? I mean, most people don't stay up all night Rosh Hashanah. Right? You can sleep at night. But some people are very particular. They get up like super early Rosh Hashanah morning. You know, you shouldn't be sleeping on the Day of Judgment. The Ramah brings this minhag in Source 11. Gam noagim shlo lishon bayom Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, you can sleep at night. Some people get up early. Some don't take a nap in the afternoon. Minhag nachonu. And it's a good minhag. It's a nice minhag. What's the idea of this minhag? Not to sleep. And I'll ask you a question. If the whole point is not to sleep because, you know, it's the Yom HaDin, so after shul, you already went to court, right? You put in the effort, or whatever, or you davened in the morning, right? If you had your own private court in your home, and your Mamlech Hashem over your little court. So now it's the afternoon, so now you should be allowed to sleep. Why can't I sleep in Rosh Hashanah? I once saw an incredible pshat. Who once slept and felt bad about sleeping? Yaakov Avinu. What happened with Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu comes to the place, comes to Vayivka Bamakom, he comes to the place, right? And he lies down, he hadn't slept in a long time, Rashi says, and he gets a good shluff, and he wakes up, and he has this, after having this crazy dream of angels going up and down the ladder, it's like all of world history displayed before his eyes, and he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm sleeping in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the pasuk in source number 12, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomar, Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'nochi lo yadati. Had I known this was Hashem's place, I never would have slept here. Says Rashi, source 13, She'im yadati lo yashanti b'makom kadosh kazeh. Had I known that God was in this place, I never would have slept here. So my friends, why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Where's this midag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? What's the depth of this midag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Because if I really believe that Hashem is actually spreading out the palace all over on Rosh Hashanah, that my home is the palace, that my bathroom, my kitchen, my bedroom, my living room, my wherever, my taking my kid to the park because they don't realize it's Rosh Hashanah, they just want to go on the swings. That's Rosh Hashanah. But when I really believe that what? That Meloch HaKol HaOlam Kulo B'Chvodecha, if I can really believe that idea in a real way, in a deep way, had I known that Hashem was in this place, then I never would have slept. So part of not sleeping in Rosh Hashanah is the realization that, you know what? Sometimes I go to visit Hashem. Shlosh Regalam, I visit Hashem. Shabbos, I go to visit Hashem. Right? But Rosh Hashanah, in a certain sense, Hashem is visiting me. In the sense that my home has become the palace. My whole world has become the palace. So there's an incredible Kabbalah that we have from Rav Elia Lopian, the great Mashkiach. He said, we have a Kabbalah. Take it or leave it. He was a halakha person, Rav Elia Lopian, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He says we have a Kabbalah. Again, I'm not sure what the source of this is. Rav Elia Lopian said we have a tradition that Jewish women who stay home and take care of children in Rosh Hashanah, for those who that's relevant for, right, they should just know that their tefillos have a special place before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. All right. Fine. Nice quote. You know, maybe someone posted it on their Instagram to mechazik a little. You know, meaningful minute. Okay, we got the WhatsApp. You know, Rabbi Lopian says, but it's the Gemara that I showed you before. It's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Dear Shu Hashem b'himatzo. If the tzibur is always answered, Dear Shu Hashem b'himatzo. The Gemara starts off. It sounds negative. Seek out Hashem when He can be found. There's only certain times when He can be found. For an individual, when can He be found? During the Aseres. The Aseres Yemei Tshuva. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That was the gift that Hashem gave to the world, that every person, wherever we are, should be able to believe that my bias, that my world, that my place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, you're a yachid. A yachid can be entered during these days. A yachid has the ability, and again, the unique and special gift of crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire universe. There's a word in Tanakh that's a code word for tshuva. The code word is ata, now. For obvious reasons, why now? What's one of the great impediments to tshuva? Do tshuva tomorrow, do tshuva next year, do it a different time. The Medrash says in Source 14, Ein va'ata el tshuva. The word va'ata, now, means tshuva. Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem elokecha, shal meimach. What is it that Hashem asks of you? Hashem says ata, right now. Right now, why is va'ata a code word for tshuva? It's not just about procrastination. Because the word ata doesn't just mean now in terms of, again, a time. But it means now in terms of a place, right here, right now. You're not stuck, you're not boxed in. I'll tell you one of the saddest memories of my life. Our daughter, Meira, when she was little, I was reading through some old notes and I found this. I had forgotten about this recently. And I was just reminded of it recently. Because I wrote it down. It was so shocking when it happened. When Meira was little, she woke up one night in her crib. And she was screaming. So I remember vividly, I ran into her room. And she was standing up, holding up. Now her crib was like, let's say this was the wall that her crib was up against. She woke up and she was holding on to the side of the crib facing the wall. So just try to picture this for a second. Usually a kid, she wakes up, she grabs onto the other side of the crib and like waits for mommy. Like, imagine waking up all of a sudden and they're like, all of a sudden, who built that wall? Like, I went to bed, my parents tucked me in, we said Shema, we read a little book, and now all of a sudden, like in the middle of the night, someone like built a cage. And she's screaming, she's like clawing at the wall. It was a crazy experience. And I like picked her up and she's like shaking, like, oh my gosh, I'm not actually trapped. It's like, no, you're not, like, thank God, you're not actually trapped. It was such a intense image. I think about it sometimes. I had forgotten about it. But I'm happy I rediscovered it because it's such a true muscle for life. There's times spiritually where we feel boxed in. Like all of a sudden, I don't know, things used to be open and now all of a sudden there's this crazy wall. Someone like built a wall between me and Avinu Shabbat Shammai. But the wall is a perception. And that's why va'ata is the courage for a person to say, va'ata, right here, right now, I'm going to be Mamlech Hashem over this place. It says in Parshas Va'eschanan, it's not on the page in front of you, "Ubikashta misham es Hashem elokecha." You'll search for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Ubikashta misham es Hashem elokecha," "Umetzasa," and you'll find Hashem, "Ki sidreshenu b'chol levavchu b'chol nafshecha." So there's an incredible Chassidish of Pshat. "Ubikashta misham es Hashem elokecha." You're going to think, "Bikashim," you're going to be mevakesh Hashem where? Misham, over there. There's a taiva. There's this irrational desire to or this this imaginary feeling that somehow Hashem is found better somewhere else. The other situation is always better. We do that in Ruach Nias also. We always assume everyone else's life is better than my own life also. When we're not healthy, obviously, a healthy person knows I'm exactly where I need to be. But spiritually, all the more so we do that. We become jealous, and sometimes it's very sincerely motivated. We feel that someone else has a better opportunity or more of an opportunity, greater access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, "Uvikashta misham es Hashem elokecha." You're going to think Hashem is found over there, but what's the end of the pasuk? "Umatzasa," and when will you actually find Hashem? "Ki sidrushenu b'chol levavchu b'chol nafshecha." When you search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and all of your soul, it's not actually better over there. That's the mistake of the Yetzirah. That's the deception of the Yetzirah. And again, that's the challenge for us, I think, in the month of Elul, and the opportunity that we have on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Again, to really try to believe in these ideas in a real way, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the whole world. Let's learn together, just for a few more moments, one of my favorite Torah ideas. This could really save you spiritually. I think about this one all the time, and I share this one all the time. It's from a sefer called Avodas Pnim. He was a Slonimer Chassid who lived in Tveria. Rabbi Aryan Yosef Luria was his name. And it goes back to that wall that Meira was trying to free herself from. Right? Or that perception of being trapped in our Avodas Hashem. Now is not the right time to daven. Now is not the right time to start learning again. Now is not the right time to change this in my life. Va'ata, ata. Ata is the code word for tshuva, says the Medrash. Because now is the right time, and now is the right place, and now is the right circumstance. And especially in Rosh Hashanah, now, yes, Hashem is accessible. Dirshu Hashem behimatzo. So says the Avodas Pnim, in source 15. Just read a little bit inside. Ein shum miniyah la'adam me'avodas Hashem yizbach. There is no true obstacle in Avodas Hashem. You know, in Washington Heights, my students sent me a funny picture this week. They're doing some construction. I don't know how well people know the YU campus, but first hall across from the Beis Medrash, they're doing like a big facelift over there. You know, major construction. So there's these like, I don't know, we'll call them telephone poles. I don't actually know what they are. These like poles along the street. They must do something. Anyways, they have like a lot of like YU, you know, flags and signs and pictures of Rebbeim and whatnot. So my face is on one of them, and where they're building this construction, so like my flag is like trapped behind, like it's as if like they built this like big wall, and like my flag is just like poking through this like little fence. So one of my students, I guess, was in first hall this week taking a class or something. He's like, oh, like look, he's like, Rebbe, look how like you're breaking through walls or something, you know. So I sent back a picture from a sefer that I had once seen that the Baal Tanya was walking with the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And they were walking together, and they got to a wall. And the Berdichever said, let's go through the wall. And what that means is, let's grab hands and walk straight through the wall. Because this world is nothing. It's all, you know, there's nothing but, Hashem. And Baal Tanya said, no, I don't know if we should go through the wall. Maybe we should go around. Berdichever said, no, but this whole world, it says, the Svarim tell us, this world is kolo chashiv, this world is like nothing. So the Baal Tanya said, right, it's like nothing, but it's like it's also something. Like there's actually a wall there. So we should probably, the Berdichever probably had the powers, and I'm sure the Baal Tanya could have walked through the wall also. You know? But sometimes we can't always walk through walls. But we can find a way around the wall. Because a lot of the obstacles, a lot of the perception of that blockage is just the perception. Ein shum miniyah la'adam yavodas Hashem yisbarach. If you want to be close to Hashem, so do it. Va'ata, why not? Why not now? Why not now? Who says no? Yitzhar says no. The place isn't right. The timing's not right. The circumstance isn't right. There's no real obstacle in avodas Hashem. What there is avodas Hashem. What do I mean by that? What does Hashem want from me? You think Hashem is unfair? Do you think Hashem like expects a person to be somewhere where they're not? Expects you to be something you're not? Is that reasonable? Is Hashem an unreasonable God? I think Hashem is a pretty reasonable God. We don't understand everything Hashem does. But let's assume that Hashem is a reasonable God. That what he expects of us is reasonable expectations. Again, each person basher hu sham. So says the Avodas Pnim, there's no such thing as an obstacle in Avodas Hashem. It's just that different situations call for different avoda. Elisha b'shas doichak, in a time of pressure, when you're struggling to pay your bills, when you're shalom bayis, or your relationship with your parents is not great, or whatever you're going through, a medical situation, lo aleinu, any of these things, when you're feeling the squeeze of life, ein ha'adam yachol la'avodas Hashem, you're not able to serve Hashem, but oso sug avdus shebashas menucha. Hashem is asking a different thing from you when life is overwhelming than when life is calm. You're still an Eved Hashem. It's just, what does Hashem want me to do now? What am I being asked to do? Va'avdus mishtana oz ba'ofen v'seder acher. The avdus changes from one thing to another. Kamo poshet levush zeh v'lovesh levush acher. It's like when you change from one garment to another garment. You're still the same person. When you're going to sleep, you put on your pajamas. When you're going to a wedding, you put on a fancy dress. Which one's right? Which one's correct? They're both correct. Different circumstances call for a different levush. Right? Or he says it's like a person learning one mesechta or another mesechta. What's holier, Bereishis or Devarim? What's more important, Rashi or Ramban? Right? What do you get more schar for, learning mesechas Zvachim or Menachos? It's all Torah Hashem. And the question then becomes, what does Hashem want from me in this moment? Because the common denominator, he says, where it's bolded, Kamo Kain, Hanakuda Hapnimis Shalavudaso Yisbarach, Hu Tamid Bechol Makum Uvechol Zman. The common denominator that I'm seeking a relationship with Hashem is present in everything. Sometimes it's davening in shul for many hours. Sometimes it's changing a diaper of my own child. That's also v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. There's different things that are asked of me. Ela she'alevush mishtana lefi ha'makom hazman v'hamatzav. Different situations call for a different response. And then he says an incredible thing. And then he says in the second paragraph, he says, you know, when things are calm, so then you're able to be more spiritually motivated in terms of classic service of Hashem. And when things are chaotic, what's asked of you? What are you supposed to lean into? Amunah and bitachon. Maybe I can't say as many words of davening, but maybe the fact that I opened my siddur is a tremendous expression of my amunah and bitachon. And maybe the fact that I still believe in Hashem despite the difficulties that I'm going through. Maybe that's an incredible thing. And then he writes at the end, he says, where it's bolded, V'hinei im ha-melech yitzav la'avdo lasos eiz avoda. If the king asks you to do A or B or C, V'hu yasa avoda achers, and you do something, when the king asks you to do something and you do something else, so what have you done? You know what you've done? You've rebelled against the king. But I'm serving the king. I thought the king would like if I... The king said, hold on, that's not what I asked of you. That's called Morid B'malchus. If the king says, I always use the same mashal, I don't know why, but if the king loves vanilla ice cream, at one time the king says to his servant, I want you to go to the royal kitchen and fetch me chocolate ice cream. The person comes back, says, chocolate, but I know the king's favorite flavor is vanilla. So the servant comes back and he brings to the king a bowl of vanilla ice cream. So the king says, what is this? Your Highness, it's your favorite ice cream. It's vanilla ice cream. But I said chocolate. That's Morid B'malchus. You rebelled against the king. Off with your head. But this is your favorite. I thought this is your favorite thing. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Isn't Torah your favorite thing? Isn't davening with a minion better than davening by yourself? Hashem says, sometimes. It depends. If that's what's asked of you, if that's realistic for you, but if that's not your avoda, then it's Nikra Morid B'malchus. Alkein tzarich ha'odem tamid lishmoa belibo mahu raton Hashem achshav. Therefore, a person has to ask himself or herself, we have to ask ourselves, what does Hashem want from me right now? And that's what real avodas Hashem is. It's not about what makes me feel good, it's what does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem expect from me? Rabbi J.J. Schachter wrote an article a number of years ago. It's called Submitting to Divine Religious Authority in a World of Personal Autonomy. In a world where everyone, like, you know, you do you, everyone do your thing, where that's like the, you know, the language of the generation, everyone should feel that they can express, you know, everyone can express himself or herself in accordance with our own, however I feel, whatever my truth is, right? So how do we surrender to Hashem? And what does it mean to crown a Kadosh Baruch Hu Melech on Rosh Hashanah? So he writes about a book that was written in 1985 called Habits of the Heart, Individualism and Commitment in American Life. And in this book, he gives an example, listen to this, of the widespread phenomenon. He described a nurse, Sheila Larson, who has actually named her religion, she calls it her faith, after herself. She calls it Sheilaism. And this woman describes, what does it mean to practice Sheilaism? Rabbi Schachter wrote in a footnote to this article, he said, imagine if her name was Judy, what would she call her really name? But Sheilaism. In her words, I believe in God, I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. She defined my own Sheilaism as it's just try to love yourself, be gentle with yourself, you know, I guess take care of each other. I think he would want us to take care of each other. She's saying a lot of true things, right? But it's not a religion. It's serving oneself. Right? That notion of, hold on, Judaism is not what I want Judaism to be. Avodas Hashem is not serving myself and calling it Avodas Hashem because in a different context, in a different time, in a different place, that actually was Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is answering the call. What is my Avodah right now? And that's what it means to be Mamdech HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol ha'olam kulo. And I want to end in the final source. That if everything I said tonight, if everything we learned tonight still doesn't resonate with you, and if you still feel And again, I hope I'm not making any assumptions about anyone's feelings, but again, I often feel, and I guess as a male, I can advocate on behalf of the women. The women sometimes are too sensitive to complain. But I know it's hard. I know it's hard sometimes for Jewish women to find their place. And again, within Tzibur, on the Yom Ha'orah, it doesn't always work out. It's not always so easy. It's not always so easy to be able to, those who are blessed with children especially. It's not so easy to be in shul. So maybe, right, maybe if you're still hurting, or if you feel that, you know, it's still hard for you to believe in this idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of being everywhere and being Mamdech Hashem over your place, like the Chazan who before he takes the Amud calls out HaMelech from his little corner. And we don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah because we believe that Hashem is you know truly everywhere in a different kind of way on Rosh Hashanah. So then there's a way of davening also from that place of pain. There's a way to talk to Hashem from a place of hurt. And even though Rosh Hashanah is the time where we're supposed to praise Hashem, Imam Lech Hashem, right? But the king also, a good king, a true king, actually cares about his subjects. And wants to know, how do my people feel? And the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, which halavai we should all be zochet to hear, the Gemara debates, what should the shofar of Rosh Hashanah look like? And it's two models that we can try to tap into both of them. Shofar shal Rosh Hashanah, says the Mishnah, shal ya'el pashut. The first opinion is that it should be like a goat's horn, pashut, a straight horn. A straight horn. Another opinion, the Gemara says it should be zacharim kfufin, b'shal zacharim kfufin. No, it should be a ram's horn that's kafuf, that's bent. So which is it? What's this machlokas about? Says the Gemara in the third line, b'may kamufligli, what are they arguing about? Mar savar, one opinion holds, b'rosh Hashanah kama d'chayif inish daite tfei male. The more a person is kafuf, the more a person is bent, the more a person humbles and submits oneself, kayif inish daitai, the more I feel bent over, tfei male, the better. And the other opinion that says that the shofar should be straight, pashut, simple, long and straight, kama de pashut inish daitai, tfei male. The more straight and the more simple a person is, the better. In other words, the machlokas about the shape of the shofar, which is that pure animalistic cry of Klal Yisrael, of the individual voices and the collective voice of the Jewish people, is somehow reflecting two different postures of tefillah. On the one hand, there's this utter simplicity that's being advocated, that we're supposed to just try to be as pashut and simple and honest and real with Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. But in fact, the preferable position in halacha is the opinion that what? Kafuf, is bent over. It's not even being able to just say things so simply, but to really feel a sense of a weightiness, a burden. Hashem, it's too much. It's too heavy. Life sometimes feels too heavy. And I'm not sure what it means to come on the Yom HaDin. I can read all the Sfarim, I can read all the Mashalim of the Dumna Magid, I can read Yechiel Spiro books to try to be inspired. I can read all of Rabbi Krohn's, you know, Kol Kisrei Rabbi Pesach Krohn. I can study every story, and I can still feel like, you know, I don't know what you want, Hashem. But it's okay. It's okay to feel that way, because the posture of a Jew on Hashanah, the optimal posture of a Jew on Hashanah, is to come before Hashem and to say, Hashem, I do feel small in the world, and at times I do feel that I don't know what you want from me, and I want to believe that Maloch Al Kol HaOlam Kulo, even in those less inspired moments of my life. I want to believe that you're with me in those moments, in those difficult moments. But sometimes I just feel, I don't know. I can't, it's hard to look you in the eye, Hashem. And I'm bent over like the humbled shofar. But that's an ideal posture, Rosh Hashanah. That's not like the bidyevet for the person who's struggling. Like, oh, if you happen to show up in Rosh Hashanah like that, that's the ideal posture of a Jew in Rosh Hashanah. That's the combination of the pashut and the kafuf. That's the combination of sort of this utter simplicity and this humility of surrender to Hashem. And again, Ba'asher Husham, wherever you are, to be able to say, Hashem, I want to believe that you could be the king over this spot in my life. And to try to really own that in a real way. It's an incredibly powerful thing. So I'll just end. Rav Avram Yaakov of Sadigura, the Sadigura Rebbe, Zichar Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, used to say that a person can come to this world and can accomplish everything that we need to accomplish on condition that we don't say two words. There are two words. Mamish, a curse word for a Jew. It's a dirty word for a Jew to say. He said, as long as you don't say these two words, everything's going to be okay. But if you say these two words, you risk ruining everything. What are the two words? Ilu hayisi. Ilu hayisi. If it was more like this, if it was more like that, that's scandalous. How can you say such a thing? If only. If only I was smarter, if only I was richer, if only this was better, if only that was better, if only. If only. So the Guru Rabba said, you can't say that. A Jew's not allowed to say that. Because then you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being melech over that spot. And you're questioning if my life is the way that it's supposed to be. And that's Morid B'malchus. That's antithetical to what we're trying to do on Yosh Hashana, which is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Kol HaOlam Kulo. Not just Kol HaOlam. Kol HaOlam Kulo. Not Rubo Kekulo. The entire thing. The entire universe. Like Rosh Steinzel said, Hashem is not trapped in the shul, no matter how big the shul is. No matter how big the crowd is. That's not where Hashem is going to be found. Hashem is going to be found, like the Kotzker Rebbe said, wherever we let a Kodesh Baruch Hu in. So I give us a bracha. We say throughout Chodesh El, Shivti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch said, Shivti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. Rav Hirsch had a very chassidish attach. Shivti Beveis Hashem, I should feel that I'm dwelling Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai, but wherever I am in my life. Not just when I'm... Pashup Shad, as David Melech says, I wish I could stay in shul all day. I wish I could stay in the Beis Medrash all day. Rav Hirsch says, no, David Melech was saying, Shivti Beveis Hashem, I should feel that I'm in the Beis Hashem, Kol Yemei Chayai, wherever I am in life. But I'll add to that really just by way of a bracha and a thank you to all of you and to all of us. We should be Zocha. Like we say every day, Ashrei Yoshrei Beisecha. Ashrei, praiseworthy are those people who really believe that Yoshrei, that wherever we're sitting, Beisecha is your house, Hashem. To really believe that. Ashrei, praiseworthy are those people who are Yoshe Beisecha. Not the people who are obviously in Beis HaMikdash, or obviously in Shul. But Ashrei, Shkayach to the people. Shkayach to the Noshim Tzidkanios in particular, who are Yoshe, that wherever they are, wherever we find ourselves, Beisecha, we believe that that's your house, Hashem. That's what it means to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire universe. And again, if we believe in this idea, then Elul is not just a hachana, a quick opportunity, like we started with the Baal Tanya, to catch Hashem in the field before things get official. It's really the preparation. Learn how to find Hashem in the field, and then you'll really understand that the palace of Rosh Hashanah is not just in the palace, but is in fact in the entire world. Okay. Thank you for coming. Everyone should have a chesiva v'chesima tova, and an amazing year. Thank you again, Hanina, for organizing. Toda rabba.